You are listening to Life Heritage Moments with international evangelist and Bible teacher Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. Life Heritage Moments is a production of the Life Heritage Radio Network. Each program is designed to encourage Christians to consider what it really means to be a Christian as it challenges them to transform words into deeds.
This is the second part of the sermon, A Son on the Run. It was delivered recently at the Peckham Seventh-day Adventist Church in London, England, as a part of a series on relationships.
But as we look at how people must have molded an impression of Jacob in their minds, and many may have given up on him, we are so thankful that God had not yet given up on him, yet he had sinned. But I thank God that where sin abounds, grace doth more abound. My brothers and sisters, it does not matter where you are in life. Does not matter how far you may have strayed from the ark of safety. God has a vision for your life. You better understand, you may not even be praying, may not even be thinking about church, but God has a vision for your life. You may be in darkness, but let me tell you something, if you stay still just for a moment, he will place in your mind his dream for your future. And that future is bright. It's a dream of redemption. It's a dream of salvation. It's a dream of hope. It's a dream of victory. And so the Bible says that he dreamed. And behold, a ladder, verse 12, was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. A ladder, the Bible says, or the correct translation would say a ramp, or if you want to take it to the 21st century, there was an escalator. And understand something, this is a powerful symbol. Because many people, after they have turned their backs on God, will look and expect to see a great chasm. But God let him know that he still had direct access to God. Even the drunkard, even though he may be in that stupor, the drug addict, he may be as high as a kite, but if he calls upon the name of Jesus, Jesus will hear. And so he has the vision of this ladder. Still has access to God, my brother, my sister. None of us have gone so far from God that we cannot return. The Bible says, since we have a high priest before the throne of God, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace in the time of our need. So this ramp, this escalator, these stairs, this ladder made Jacob know that he still had access to God. And the Bible says, hallelujah, that angels of God were ascending and descending. God was still communicating with his wayward child. God was still protecting his wayward child. Although he had forsaken God, God was still ministering to him. Oh, you thought it was an accident why your friend got killed and you did not get killed. You thought it was an accident why your friend got AIDS and you did not get AIDS. Let me tell you something. God is trying to communicate with you. And the angels were ministering to him around the clock. And he was to learn firsthand, yes, this chief of sinners, that God is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So verse 13. The Bible says that after this angelic prelude, the Lord finally makes his appearance. The Lord stood above it and said, verse 13, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm going to give the land on which you lie to you and your descendants. My brothers, my sisters, this is a powerful promise. Yes, here's Jacob, a son on the run, a liar, a deceiver, a trickster, a general. But God was not only ready and willing to forgive him, but to restore him. So after God prophesies to Jacob, we see in verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. There may be someone in the realm of darkness and feel as if they've given themselves over to Satan, but I serve a God who will tread even where angels fear to tread. Let me tell you something. Wherever you might be, if you open your eyes wide enough, you can say, surely the Lord is in this place. It may be in a blues dance, or if you look carefully enough, you can see God and you can say, surely the Lord is in this place. It may be in that motel room when you're about to do something you know you got no business doing. Let me tell you something, if you tune your mind to his spirit, you can say, surely the Lord is in this place. And like the prodigal, his eyes were open and he came to himself. For the first time in a long time, he had an awareness of the presence of God. For the first time in a long time, he tuned in to the Spirit of God. For the first time in a long time, he realized that he can't hide from God. He can't run from God. He can't pretend to be holy. He can't play church, because God is everywhere. And you can run wherever you want to run, but God is there before you even get there. So the Bible says, verse 18, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Let me tell you something. When you have that encounter with God, that hardship becomes a testimony. When you have that encounter with God, the sister who gave the testimony earlier, you may say, I thought I could not cope when I closed my shop on the Sabbath, but praise God, I found out that he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Oh, I thought I could not make it without that man in my life. How am I going to pay the mortgage? But you're not married. Oh my God, if you push him out, even though it may be hard to you, let me tell you something, that hardship will become a testimony. Or you thought that you can't do without those cigarettes, but let me tell you something, even though you may get the shakes and those withdrawal pains, after a while, when you can get up and breathe free, and when you're thinking like normal people, hallelujah, you'll be able to say, my hardship has become a testimony. So verse 20, he makes the altar. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Jacob made a vow. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, particularly those who are seeking God. When you find him, you must make a commitment. Because God has spoken to many people and you think that it's just a part-time conversation. But let me tell you something. When God speaks to you, he expects you to enter into a commitment with him. Indeed, through Isaiah, he says, come, let us reason together. There's no conversation that's off limits. I want to have a relationship with you. When you find God, you got to make that commitment. Can't go back to the old life. You need to change direction. And so we see Jacob coming to himself, making this vow, and listen to what he says in this vow. I will return to my father's house in See, this is his confession. He realizes that he's caused much pain at home. And so far, he's been running away from the problem. But let me tell you something. The only way you're going to overcome your problems is by facing it. So he realizes that he must make amends. He must return to his father's house and apologize to his brother and his parents. The fractured relationships had to be restored. I will return to my father's house in peace. In conclusion, we find that it would be some time before the son on the run returned home. When we look at the story, we see that he'd have to suffer many hardships, go through many dangers, toils, and snares. But when we look at the life of Jacob after this, it's obvious that he was a changed man. It's obvious that he had experienced conversion. So Jacob eventually returns home 80 years later. His mother's dead, but his father's still alive. His brother's still alive. And he returns home with a new attitude. He returns home with a new experience, but most importantly, he returns home with a new name. No longer Jacob the deceiver, no longer Jacob the supplanter, but he's Israel, the man of a great God, the one who has struggled with God and has prevailed. As we think about the life of Jacob, there may be some who like this man of God.
Thanks for listening to Life Heritage Moments. We invite you to email your comments to radio@lifeheritage.org, or you may call them in at 206-350-5476. Please visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org, where you can listen to other programs and view the other services of Life Heritage Ministries. If you wish to partner in this ministry, you may make a secure donation on our webpage, or you can send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Don't forget to tune in again next week, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.